Hello, and welcome to my Deeper podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and like this video. And if you are watching this on Facebook, like our page and this video. We're covering the book of Revelation. And the last time we were in Revelation 6, and John had experienced worship in heaven, probably greater than anything we could ever experience here on earth. But he also sees a terrible scene of the four horsemen of the apocalypse as the Lamb is breaking open the seals on the scroll. The Lamb has opened six of the seals, but before the seventh seal is cracked open, we have this brief interlude. And this is where we are in Revelation 7. John writes, "After this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on the earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called out with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed." See, what John sees are four angels holding back the wind from the four corners of the earth. And this begs the question, how many times does God hold back the wind from us? How many times does God protect us from harm each day? I believe that without God's protection, we would be a very lost society, worse than we are already. And we would be bent upon our own destruction. We can also see that even nature bends to the will of God. The angels are holding back punishment on the earth so that a group of people may be sealed. Now, there is much disagreement about the identity of these 144,000 people. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that they are the 144,000. Some people say that this is symbolic and represents the completeness of all who believe in Jesus. But there are others who believe that we must interpret this passage literally. And this is what I hold. I believe that there are 144,000 people from the tribes of Israel who will turn to believe in Jesus Christ during the tribulation. These 144,000 Jews are sealed, which means that they have a special protection of God. They are kept safe from the divine judgment, from the wrath of the Antichrist. And they can freely perform their mission during this tribulation. And their mission seems to be to evangelize the world and to proclaim the gospel during the tribulation period. This idea of sealing kind of brings to mind for me this idea that what we see in Exodus with the blood on the doorways that the Jews did during that final plague in Egypt. See, those who were in the homes under the blood of the Lamb were safe from the angel of death. John continues in Revelation 7, verse 9. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. See what John has seen. He's seen this amazing scene. And this is the result of the ministry of the 144,000. This is the greatest sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ in history that results in a great multitude from every nation, tribe, peoples, and language coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And John is asked who they are and where they came from. And he does not know. So the elder tells him that they have come out of the tribulation. These are people who come to believe in Jesus during one of the greatest times of persecution and judgment ever seen on earth. Now you may be thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great to be one of these people? But beloved, we should not wait until the tribulation to accept Christ. We do not know if we will live that long. Or, on the other hand, if we cannot accept Christ now when we have the church, when we have the saints, and we have the Holy Spirit convicting us, what makes us think that we will come to Christ during the time of difficulty? Jesus may return soon, or years from now. And while we're waiting, death may come. And we get no second chance for salvation after death. Don't wait to surrender to Jesus. Do it now. And don't wait to tell others about Jesus. Do it now. We may wake up one day and realize it's too late for us and for them. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, spur us on to be evangelists. First of all, Lord, for us to accept you as our Savior, to believe in you, to trust in you, to place our lives in you, to be faithful to you, to surrender. And then, Lord, to share your good news with everyone we know. Again, to do the work of an evangelist. But don't have us do this by our own power, Lord, but by your power, by your grace, by your will, Father, and yours alone. Spur us on, Lord, today. Help us not to wait. And we pray this in your name, by your grace, in your power, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, thank you for joining me. God bless. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.